So which way do you go around the table when you introduce?
Oh, whatever God's little shoulder demon tells me to do.
Yes. Silence!
I'll go left to right. I'll go left to right.
Let's plan it a little bit this time.
Isaac, Rudy, Jermaine.
Isaac, Rudy, Jermaine. Okay, that'll work.
You're Rudy.
I'm Doug.
Yep. Welcome got it. Well done.
There's fucking Isaac. There's fucking Rudy. It's a broken
foot. I don't even need to fucking be here.
Who needs AI?
All right. Doug. Four panel, Doug. Oh, shit. I'm recording all this. This is going to be
the
amazing.
The worst warm up ever.
Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are the man.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
Rudy's a master pulling bone over there.
Yeah, I wasn't ready until we boned you.
My bone is detached.
Detachable penis.
I haven't heard that in forever. What's up, everybody? Doug here with the Hype Attack Podcast. Joined, as usual, with Isaac, Rudy, Jermaine.
Smooth.
Do we need to do that over?
No.
Okay.
the magic of...
Cue the kazoos.
The magic of production.
Yes. That's what happened to me last week. Overthought it.
welcome, everybody, viewers and listeners. I was told to shout out to our sponsors, so we'll do a quick moment to show you nothing.
Guess I'll just go and fuck myself.
And then,
come on, yeah, Blue Chew.
If you sense a little bit of optimism in my voice, we're recording on a Friday. So
it's Friday. I get
2 days of living as the universe intended.
St. Patrick's Eve.
Yeah, it's become a weekend long thing. Green beer all weekend.
When is St. Patrick's Day?
Monday.
Yeah.
See, took the day off.
Yeah. So today we're going to jump right into our topic, as we have been doing this season. We're going to talk about a show that kind of came out of nowhere for me. I didn't hear much about it until I think Jermaine said to watch it. And I had seen some headlines saying like, oh, you should watch this show. This is definitely one of those shows that I highly suggest watching without knowing much about it. So maybe if you haven't watched it and you listen to this, like
that part,
pause us, go spend 8 hours of your life watching that, and then immediately watch us we talk
heavy,
about this.
Heavy, heavy, heavy spoilers.
But when they pause, it's like have funny positions.
For what? Oh, yeah, when you pause it. Yeah. Yeah, you're okay, always going to get me probably glancing at myself on the TV. Yes, so Paradise.
Paradise?
Yeah.
There's a nice little trailer and some music from the show.
Oh, yes.
But it's... When I saw this trailer, like, I kind of discarded it. Like, I kind of like, it looks like some weird action thriller, like political intrigue. Like, I thought it was like some presidential thing, which I love political things like that. But
something that would have been on Fox.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe a sawed off version of 24 or something like that. I'm like, we've had those. And then, like, it just floated out into the ether. And then finally, Jermaine came back with his recommendations and... We decided we were going to do an episode on it. And I'm like, well, let me watch. No. Was this before I watched the first episode? I watched the first episode before we decided to do an episode on it. And I was like,
yeah.
The episode just grabs you and grabs you and takes you.
That first episode.
Well done.
Yeah. How much of it did he tell you about?
Like, he didn't tell me nothing about it. He just like, you need to watch it.
Yeah. Because that was basically you guys. You're like, we're doing the episode. I go, okay. Eight episodes, 45 minutes long each. I'll binge it.
With this type of show, it's one of those things that you just have to tell somebody to watch it because you can't give them any hints or crumbs or anything about it because you're going to give, you know, some major like plot point away. And you want to have the surprises because you don't want anybody going in and like, oh, well, I kind of knew because somebody already said something about it.
So someone spoiled the big reveal then.
So warning, full spoiler. I'll lead up into it. So I'm watching it, you see, and I'm like, why are we covering this? three of these guys said, let's watch it. Okay, I'm enjoying it. Sterling K. Brown's amazing. I mean, I love the pace of it and everything, but I'm like, but why are we covering it?
Yeah, where's the nerd?
Yeah, what the fuck? The nerd? It's like, nerds. Wow, like deep character building and emotion. The soundtrack's great. And I'm like, 30 minutes into it, I go, why are we covering this? This is weird.
If we didn't cover Cyclops.
Yeah. and his agent, Xavier. Hey.
To me, my X-Men.
And then that last bit hits of where it's taking place. Paradise is basically they're in a biodome. I'm like,
lost in paradise. Oh.
It's a grounded Fallout.
Yeah. And that first episode did such a great lead up. They started sprinkling there's something more.
Yeah.
That fun reveal. That's
totally blindsided by that too. I had absolutely no idea. And I was like, oh shit, look at that. I'm in.
Where's the button? Oh, clever.
Post-apocalypse, let's go.
What part in the first episode were you guys like, okay, this got me, besides the ending? Was there anything?
There was the guy with the ducks. That was towards the end, though, right? Putting the fake ducks in the pond, that was middle.
Then it led up to the ultimate reveal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole sequence where they're before they pull out to the reveal as a dome, people with their wristbands and the guy doing the ducks and all that shit. I'm like, what is this? Is this some kind of some colony under a dome? Something I was post reality, I don't know, some alternate reality. I was my mind was flying down pathways, and all of a sudden I pulled back and I'm like, oh, fucking interesting.
The scary part is, I guess technically it'd be sci-fi, but it's so kind of grounded and
it's very grounded.
Yeah. In fact, I would kind of caution to say being inspired by the Cold War. I mean, they even hinted at that in one of the later episodes and how that plays into, sort of the world's demise, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've done an episode on post-apocalypse.
Yeah, we had trouble then.
I know.
Get that Friday energy.
Yeah, Friday energy. All right.
Take your medicine. You'll get it down.
We have done an episode on post-apocalyptic fiction.
You got it.
Before. And I think in that episode, we kind of man, everything's kind of the same. Everything's pretty similar. This is certainly one that I would say is different. Now, the concept of a government entity or billionaires or whoever living through the apocalypse on their own because of their wealth, that's not anything too new. You mentioned Fallout. I'm thinking Mountain Men from the 100. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the same concept. They survived the apocalypse by going into a mountain, very similar to this. So it's nothing new, but I think it's been a while since we've really seen it, and it was certainly a surprise. That's what we were getting. For some reason, I thought I saw zombies, so I was kind of anticipating, when's the zombies show up? I don't know. Everything's zombies nowadays.
You never know. I mean, it just got greenlit for its second season, so.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the outside world much.
Yes.
Man, but I was hooked on the characters,
Yeah.
You just got to love and just see how these characters, work within this environment. But that first episode, I was like, man, I actually like how old boy's playing this presidential character. And then all of a sudden he's dead. I'm like,
by the way,
they made me like him and he's already dead. I was like, damn.
Huge shout out to James Marsden finally stepping away or stepping into a role where it's very fleshed out and layered, as are all of the characters, but most importantly, his last role was the fucking donut lord in the Sonic movies. So it's a step up from that.
But with his character, though, how everybody kind of picked up on their little, Rudy was mentioning, the wristbands and, Doug said the ducks. Just him being kind of a cool type president. But his drinking thing, I was just sitting there. I was like, man, what is really going on here? Because I just felt like there was something else behind that, more so than just him, being that way. And just him kind of ending up just on the floor. It's those type of things that I like, because I know they're going to come back.
Yeah.
And they're going to
answer those questions,
stitch everything together but it just worked so well.
I think that, like,
flawlessly too.
Storytelling wise, I think they did it cleverly enough where they're really what's that, like the cup and ball game? They're kind of like shuffling things around, and they're not necessarily distracting you in like a, you know, bad story writing, but just there's so much going on in a good way. That they do finally come back and answer those questions. Cause it felt like the series Lost, but except like there actually is an answer at the end and everything does come together and you know, you're posing all these questions, but you're finally actually answering them, as opposed to like posing new questions. And the reason why I related to Lost is because Lost was heavily character driven. In fact, spending, you know, most of the episode, most times in a flashback to build their motivation and everything up, as this did, with amazing actors and just great story writing.
Yeah, to your guys' point about like how it brought up questions or clues or stuff, but some of them got answered pretty quick, which I thought that was nice. Like, the earrings. Like, oh, and, you know, right away we're so used to like, oh, you know, spousal, something happened, right? So he's dead. He sees the earrings. I'm like, oh, those are going to be something. And then like 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, they're hers. And then you learn she is. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, the earrings don't mean anything. Like, and I thought that was really cool because it kind of broke down like how much information can be seen in a crime scene. And how quickly some of it can be answered and how some of it can't be answered. And you know, the flashback thing is such a great method to bring in that kind of story, like character development and everything like that. I sometimes do feel like I get frustrated when shows are done that way, because like the moment that the show's about, the moment of the president dying and figuring out who it is, feels to like drag because half the episodes are flashbacks. I'm just like, I want to know, I want to go back to the investigation. Like, I'm into that. But then once, you know, if it's done really well, it doesn't matter, because you get sucked into some of the flashback moments and the flashback scenes.
Specifically with the pilot episode, the first episode, like the subsequent episodes, they did have a little more flashback than some other ones. But the first episode specifically is the one to lock you in, because it's slowly presenting you this world, knowing it's going to reveal what it is. Like, no, this is all normal. This is suburbia. And introducing your characters, and they're just everything being normal until it's not.
Yeah.
But doing it in that way where I was surprised in later episodes, like there were so many flashbacks, because that first episode was like, no, no, no. Here's where everything just really shifted. And maybe we'll go back and you know, how X is introduced to the president. But we're not going to spend too much time in that past. Just a little quick intro to establish their relationship, and then just really spending time in the present. And goddamn, Sterling K. Brown is a fucking amazing actor. Like, I know they wrote his character that way, but for him to execute that shit.
Yeah.
I like him. I really do.
And that, don't make me mad.
It's just like.
And he's ripped.
Sometimes his delivery is just so like monotone.
Yeah.
And I know that's because that's the character he was playing.
Yeah.
But it was so just level that I was like, is this like really him acting, or is this just like this is how it usually is? And then when he has to act, then he turns on the smile. Like, he's just, it's just odd to me. He's not a bad actor. He comes off odd to me.
That's where I would partially disagree with you, because the greatness in his acting is in those micro expressions, because he's the fucking secret agent and he doesn't have the opportunity to react. That when he does, it's because he's so pissed off that he has to make a show of things, that it happens so infrequently that, you know, he's kind of
robotic. He was on the show.
This Is Us.
This Is Us, right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing some of that, and they had that same, like, just even, like, monotone, like barely emotional. And I'm like, okay, is this, like, a thing he does?
I was curious about that, because the only time I've actually ever seen, not to pivot on This Is Us, is it was a 30-second clip, and he was, like, driving in his truck, some story with their dad or whatever, and Alva showed it to me, and I immediately started crying. And I was like, can't watch the show. Can't do it.
I put the show on, and he immediately came on the screen, and she watched the This Is Us. She's like, what the hell is this? I'm like, this is The Last of Us? And she's like, it's like she hitched for a second. I'm like, what? What? I'm like, no, this is something else.
I do like that his life, with the moments of building up the character, and you're getting to know all these characters. Like, I love the relationship between Cal and Xavier. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things too, like later on in the story, his wife was like, she had that dialogue, which I don't remember specifically how she said it, but it was one of those things, you know, where it was like, you're so calm and you're collected, but I would hate to see when, you know, something pushes like, you yeah. too far. Like,
who you lose your shit all over.
Yeah, what you're going to do. And when she said that, I was just like, mm. yeah, let me have it.
And
I need that energy right now.
As she said that, weren't they would flash to the present
yeah.
where he's loading up the guns and like getting all the, like, yeah. So it was, that was that kind of perfect storytelling.
I do love Jesus. That type of stuff. There's that, one scene in the rundown with The Rock and old boy is just in the background and he's having dialogue as The Rock is getting ready to do his shit. Like he's just, it just builds it up like
yeah.
nice. Like it's just one of those little things that just amplifies the scene a little bit better. But I do love those little moments.
Yeah. I mean, we can move on from the first episode, but I do want to say like kind of to amplify your point, like, them choosing to do it that way, I think to slowly bring us in instead of just right away, like, here's this world. I think, I mean, I guess it goes unsaid, but it just really shows how artistic creativity can really make a difference instead of just telling a story, instead of just, this is what people want. Here's another post-apocalyptic, like mm-hmm. choosing to do it certain ways, choosing to do it with the flashbacks or slowly introducing to it can really just make a difference.
Well, it's that thing where, you know, I guess you would have whatever the concept is, you know, whether it be an apocalypse or zombie, vampire, whatever. But like it shows the importance of having such a strong story or like a character driven thing set to the backdrop. Mm-hmm. You know, the backdrop, the setting is sort of the afterthought.
Yeah. And that's the thing with a lot of this nerd stuff that we talk about. I think that this might be a reminder of all that, like what needs to be done for that. Like you can't just rely on like, oh, people just want to, it's a post-apocalyptic movie and there's a president involved. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not as interesting as something more creatively done. And, you know, I think the superhero shows and movies and Star Wars and Star Trek, even to a point, can learn from that of like, it doesn't need to rest on the nerd shit to mm-hmm. say it could, it needs to rest on the characters and the way you tell yeah, the story.
Exactly. I feel like it's like a bonus where it's like, we're telling our story. Here's these things. It's also a whodunit story, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, I'm like, Alva's locked in. She's like, oh, who the fuck? But also the bonus is you then get to explore whatever nerd element.
Yeah. There's world there building. Yeah. There's, you know, how it happened. So what's going to happen.
So like as the show progresses, there's parts of me that are like, ooh, they're really delving into like the psychology of this and some of the technical aspects. And yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All that stuff. It's, after the first episode, they gave you all that wonderful, delicious goodness. I was hoping it wasn't one of those shows that was going to be, okay, now that they have you.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like a slow burn and, you know, like that kind of like way of storytelling where things just crawl and you start to kind of like lose interest a yeah, little bit. Yeah. But just with like how you guys are describing, like the psychology of the world, like how they got certain people, you know, invested in this, and then how you're seeing them, like how everything was created, and then Sinatra, fuck Sinatra, by the way.
Should we set up the story a little bit so we can like introduce these characters? Like, so you have like an end of the world scenario, and a billionaire has formed like a cabal of other billionaires to create this dome underground city,
so unrealistic.
So humanity can survive, but you know, so they can survive.
Nobody can build this.
And she,
it's possible.
She joins the government, gets the government involved, so they can, you know, subsidize it too. And they have a list of 25,000 people. Was that?
I think so.
That are green lit to live in this new civilization.
And where was it located again?
Just Colorado.
Colorado, yeah, right.
In a mountain.
I just kind of wanted to give an overview, so because we're talking about these things, and we're like,
well, no, that's a good point. We probably should start doing overviews with.
It's just one of those.
I just wanted to do a quick one.
That's yeah, all.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to land that plane.
So with all these people, you know, in this dome city, you know, quote unquote, like this last city. So you have Sinatra, who's kind of over the president, you know, like above the president. She's pulling all the strings, and it's just one of those things. As the story unfolds, you find out that she's doing things behind the scenes, like like there's actual people still existing in the world. Everybody who is in this dome, they were told that nobody outside exists, that you can't go out there. But you find out from one of Xavier's closest man, what's his name again?
Pace. Yeah, Billy Pace.
Billy Pace.
Was that his name?
Billy Agent. Sniper.
Agent
Billy Pace.
Yeah.
Sniper.
So,
wonderfully
so,
active, by the way.
Yeah. So he went out on like a little recon mission and he found, you know, that there's they sent four people out there.
Mm-hmm. Just straight up scientists.
Yeah, zero spy scientists skills. To go see, but they found evidence of people still existing and they wanted to bring people back. But Sinatra asked that and said, you know, kill everybody because we don't want to.
They can't really upset the balance of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's self contained city. Yeah.
Of their ecosystem and all that stuff. So she's doing things, you know, orchestrating it by any means necessary to keep her place safe from the outside world, but
for the greater good.
Yes. So she wants that. But
shout out Tau players in Warhammer.
Right. But within this dome, you have key players that pretty much work for her, and that one girl, whatever her name is,
Jane.
Yeah,
Jane. When
she's a gamer, so she can do what she wants.
So like, so man,
that
we'll talk about her motive later.
That scene killed me when I keep forgetting his name, the Asian guy,
Billy.
When Billy went back to her,
Billy.
And was like, you're going to have to send the biggest, baddest motherfucker, you know, to come get
put
me.
That on the universe.
And I was like, damn. Because it's one of those things. He was going to tell Xavier everything, you know, like he was going to lay his cards out on the table and just pretty much be on the side for greater good at that point.
Yeah.
And
I loved his story. It was a redemption story.
If there was going to be like an epic kind of like shootout battle going on, I was like, man, Billy would have been perfect. But that
fucking Black Widow,
that freaking,
it's always
B word.
It's always the punani.
Sinatra.
He gets you.
Yeah.
Believe that, please.
So. But it's just well thought out and executed, where you kind
of
just,
poor choice of words.
You kind of fall for these characters, but then the characters that you hate, you're really going to hate them because of things that they've had, you know, that they were ordered to do.
Which is good storytelling.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to not like the villains or whatever.
And it was only eight episode show, and the amount that they made me care about these characters. Perfect.
Well, that caring about the characters and then going back to like just the story in general, it was a thriller. So right away we're hit with the whodunit, who killed the president. Mm-hmm. But then we're introduced to the fact that this is a post-apocalyptic world. So right away it's like, well, how did the world end? They hinted at nukes, but they never really confirmed it. So you know, we're going episodes in waiting for that, and then you know, we kind of get introduced to like a little bit more mysteries here, like what's really going on, like really like well written to keep you hooked on just answering those questions. Yeah. But then as you're going, you're also loving the characters and you're curious where they're going to go. Even little Presley, Cal's or Xavier's daughter, like she was getting a little love interest with the president's son, and you kind of get hooked in that. Like, because even their story like ended up having a point to the overall story as well, which is, I think, that's kind of key here, is none of those characters felt wasted in the overall
great point arc.
Like, like there was very few wasted points. And from just to rip to get into the apocalypse a little bit more, so again, we'll spoil everything on this. What a real representation. I mean, I guess because it's a series over a movie where they can kind of take the time to go over like all the aspects of something like this, from the actual knowledge of the apocalypse coming, because it's revealed that they knew it was coming at some point.
It was some volcanoes that were blowing up.
It was a super volcano in the Antarctic.
Yeah. But you know, they were aware that it was like going to happen.
Decade or so, right?
Yeah, they had about a decade, so that's when they started building the thing, and then of course going through who gets to go there, and yeah, they brought in a psychologist, which again is like it's those little details. You know, my favorite thing in world building, it's those little details that can really make it feel that much more real. That like a psychologist that was very involved in like we're gonna need this people, these people, we're gonna need this, we're gonna need chili cheese fries, like we need these things to make it normal.
And then with the nature sounds, like they were saying that they recorded, you know, so many different sounds, like you said, just to make this atmospheric bubble thing just
work. And which is perfect, because I know, like, dudes like us, I mean, I don't know if we've had this conversation, but I've had conversations like this with other guys. But, you know, you always talk about the post-apocalyptic, and you talk about this idea of living in a dome, and, like, you never really get into those little details. Yeah. And I think that's like, was such a cool aspect of it. Yeah, I love the intricate
workings of that stuff. Like, it's just a little side note with me watching the Expanse right now, there's like a lot of little workings in there that's just cleverly giving you through the story that I love. So that's one of the things about this story that just plays well.
Yeah, they even started showing you like the little backgrounds a little bit about like how the sky worked. Mm-hmm. And I think even in the first episode, right before you got the reveal of what it was, it said like dawn is delayed 2 hours.
Scheduled maintenance.
Scheduled maintenance. Those are those little things that really don't mean anything, but they just make it so much more real and so much cooler.
Cause in later episodes, I think it was, the psychiatrist, what's her name? Dr. Tarabi, that, you know, she's pointing out all the little details and all the things that make it so important to not break the illusion, if you will, to the point where, like, when the climax of the show hits and Xavier, you know, had an image posted on the sky and she's trying to shut it down. And the only way to do that is to literally turn off the sky. And the doctor's like, yeah, that's all cool and all with your shit. But, like, everyone's going to lose their fucking minds. Like, you know, this little bubble of 25,000 people, like, that's so important to maintain that, because it'll take either so long to go back to normalcy or if ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at how well adjusted everyone seemed, you know, having just survived the end of the world. And
dude, if I got my own house.
Did you get a house? I got a house.
Yeah, the conversation. I got a house.
So how did you guys feel when they revealed the whodunit?
For the president?
Yeah.
For who killed the president?
They were on track with the way that they were presenting their information and then coming back to it later. Mm-hmm. But this was literally like presented at the beginning with the failed assassination attempt from Trent.
Yes. Which normally, you know, that'd be like, oh, that's going to be something. But they use that also to establish how Xavier took a bullet for Cal.
So smart.
Yeah. So yeah, he took a bullet from that thing. So it was very easy to place that guy.
Great point.
On the back burner, like, all right, he was it. He did that. As far as storytelling goes, he's done his role, and now we can forget about him.
And
but we couldn't.
And the fact that he was hiding in plain sight as a librarian—that's
the part that I love.
Oh. Like when they revealed him, and then they gave him the backstory and all that stuff. I was like, holy shit!
Yeah, that was the
so well done. So well done.
That being said, I still think Sinatra would have killed him, like, the day after. Or, you know what I mean? If the librarian wasn't like, I'm getting real comfortable. Oh, shit, it's the president. I have managed to avoid him all this time, but now I'm mad again. If, like, that little situation didn't happen, if he wasn't going to make that mixtape for his son, then I think that Sinatra would have killed him shortly after.
She says as much. She's like, if he kept digging the way he was digging, I was probably going to have to.
Which I want to circle back around to Sinatra's. But she's the villain, basically, and it's that thing that we've talked about. I know we talked about it in the first season villain episodes, where like a great villain is one that you can kind of go like, I see your point. It sucks. It's morally gray. Maybe it's rational, but for the greater good.
Anatomically correct, morally wrong.
She is the villain.
I'll unpack that later.
And she has that side to her, but there's no one in that show that's colder than Jane.
Dude, oh my God.
When Xavier had the gun pointed at Sinatra, you know, pretty much dome piece, you know, just upset about because he found out, you know, that that life exists out there and his wife is still alive. And, you know, she most likely had the coordinates where he can go find her because Xavier kind of had a like strife with the president throughout the whole thing. They had a good relationship, but something had happened that we didn't really see until, you know, later on. But you find out, you know, that, of course, everybody couldn't go to this, you know, safe haven paradise. So some people got left behind and you saw the chaos that happened at the White House, you know, people having to
amazing scene
to shoot each other. They had to leave people behind. He gave this woman, you know, his word that he was going to, you know, save the kid. But with that said, I was watching this whole thing. I was like, you were upset with the president for leaving his wife behind.
For choosing,
Granted, she was somewhere else, you know, in a different state. But he did the same thing to old girl, you know, when he asked her for the son. And I was sitting there, I was like, man, you're angry with Greg somewhere else.
I think Xavier was more mad, though, that, like he said, he even told Cal, like, you should have told me how serious this was.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously Cal couldn't. Like, Cal was hinting the whole time. And they eventually brought Xavier in, like, this is going to happen. You're going to be part of this plan. But they never told him, like, this is happening soon.
Yeah, to the full
because, like he said, if he knew, he would have never let his wife go to Atlanta.
But, like, he was like, this might be the time to put your foot down with your wife, homie. Like, he's like, she does terrible things.
Like, he's more so of a pawn because of the... the scene got me with the granddad and the president's son and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But even with the president himself, like when he told his dad, one of the rich billionaires, he was like, "Were you ever proud of anything that I've ever done?"
Oh,
and he was
God.
Like, and he was like, pretty much like everything you've ever done is, you know,
because of me.
Because of me. And I was like,
you've never done anything that I haven't done for you.
Yeah.
By the way, the series of quick scenes of everyone's last words to Cal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically saying fuck you.
Yeah.
I think X even saying I'll sleep when you're dead.
Yeah.
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 So, like, poor guy. He made the morally correct decisions, even up to the point where having the nuclear football and deciding not to launch America's nukes and to launch the EMPs, even if it was just to save like some of America, which ended up possibly saving his wife.
Like, he finally said enough because he had recorded a BS speech that they were gonna, you know, broadcast to America, you know, to tell them some nonsense.
Stay calm.
Yeah. But then he was like, F all this. Let me go live and I'm gonna tell the people, you know, the truth about what's going on. Because he had this moment where he saw the janitor and he was still
great moment.
The story, man. The little details, but anyways, he had this moment with the janitor and the janitor was like, you know, I've lived through so many things, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm going to live through this. And he kind of like grabbed him by the shoulders. Like, look, you don't understand. Like, this is
not... I'm the president. I'm beholden to top secret stuff. I can't say exactly
this
why.
Is one of those things. GTFO. You know,
he's like, bro, go home. Call your family.
Go home. Go to your family. So that little moment was the thing that made him, you know, turn...
push past those like boundaries, the presidential boundaries.
Yeah, so he had to break free of all the nonsense, but he did get the message to everybody. But that's when the, you know, event started to turn. And
that shit really hit for me too when he's giving that speech and they flash to those people, the staff watching on the TV outside. Yeah. Cut back to him and then cut back to where they were standing and they're gone. Like his little cart that he was pushing around, like just empty. I'm like,
the dust silhouette.
Well, also during that scene was X knew exactly what was going to happen. And I love it because he didn't say it. He didn't, you know, tell us the audience or tell anyone there. It was just like, as soon as he knew he was going to do that, he went and got the more gear. He went and got the bulletproof vest. And it, like, again, just great, great way to show, not tell what was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rachel, that during that part where they're trying to get out of the White House, where Cal stopped, or Xavier stops, takes off his vest and puts it on the president. Rachel just happened to be looking up. She's like, and he gave you his vest? Fuck you, Mr. President.
Well, it just goes to show you, like, sometimes making the morally correct decision is extremely difficult. And, you know, sure, it'll save people, but it might upset everyone else. And it's like, you can't make everyone happy. But
yeah, that was a rough ride for everyone.
Well, especially once people figure it out, wait, there is a plan. And, like, certain people are on this list and certain people aren't. Like,
man, that's a tough one, too. But, you know, his line to Sinatra, like they're basically their ultimate face off when they're on the plane and he's going to put in the codes, is the new codes and the EMP codes, red pill, blue pill. And he's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I got to give humankind a chance, just some sort of fighting chance. Yeah. Like, here we are safely going to go into a fucking biodome where we're going to be nice and happy paradise. And then we're just going to say fuck you to everyone else, hoping that we live soundly through this Noah's Ark. Fuck everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That shit threw me off too when they were talking about, like, because they dropped the, Atlanta got hit with like two nukes. I'm like, that was supposed to be like an extinction level event, not a nuclear holocaust. And then when they get into it and like the world's ending and like, well, the world's ending, let's fucking start nuking everyone to pare down the resources that the rest of us are going to need. I'm like, God damn, what a just layered fucking approach to it. And like, thinking about it, like when Sinatra's like, in every model we've run, nuclear war was always the end game. I'm like, we're some fucked up.
But
really quick, but the Cold War, the actual Cold War story of why the Cold War or that nuclear war never happened back in the
60s, 70s, 80s.
I was going to get it wrong, damn it.
50s.
Of the person that was actually going to push the button in the submarine was like, can't do it. I know they told me to do it.
Specific story.
Yeah. Which is what Cal did. Like, him dealing with all these, you know, his red tape and everything up until that moment, up until when he was going to put in the codes, that he was kind of unsure and letting everyone else dictate what to do and everything. It was that moment that he's like, no, this has to ultimately be in my hands. And everything he did from then on out, he was very sure-footed.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. That was a very, very great point. I was going to get into the actual apocalypse now that we're talking about it a little bit. So we mentioned there was the volcano, mega volcano in the Antarctic, which, of course, knocked a bunch of ice into the water, which created a tsunami that was heading from the south. So they kind of quickly covered, like, which cities were just getting wiped out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were underestimating how much it was. And then that led to, as you were just saying, the nuclear war, as countries realized that there was going to be a little bit of survivors maybe, and there was going to be resources to gather, so kill people. I was very happy that we didn't get into the destruction porn that apocalypse movies usually go into.
Agreed 1,000%.
Why waste the money? Why waste the budget? Why waste the time? We don't need to see it anymore. We've seen plenty of those movies in the past.
The one scene they did do of the wave hitting the reporter. Oh. That shit was so impactful. Just like, it just hit literally like I was like, oh shit. Like, just the very
we're flying up here.
Subtle, like, you could tell it was like a wall of water coming, and then like they're like, oh, we're on the tallest skyscraper and la la whatever, and then, no.
Yeah,
everybody's fucked.
Well, when she heard the Great Cleanse was coming for her,
when she heard the noise, which we learned was just like the sonic boom that came was coming in front of me. Crazy. At first, you know, because they had mentioned the nukes, I was kind of like, oh, she's seeing the nuke, and then like I kept kind of waiting for that moment of like, oh, we're waiting on a wave, and then oh, there's a nuke. Like, but I what they ended up doing was so much better, because it was like, oh, this really hurts, blah blah blah. We're fine, and then just not fine.
Now I don't know if they pulled that depiction of that, if they were inspired by the events of 9/11, and I only mentioned that because it popped up on my feed, one specific clip where the news reporter, same thing, you know, and they're talking, and then all of a sudden they hear rumbling, and the first tower falls, and then a cascade of smoke and destruction. So they're just running for their lives, and they run into some stores and everything, and the cameras are still rolling. And people are still kind of in denial about it. You know, same thing like the reporter, like, we're fine, we're on the thing. And I don't know if you guys have seen this clip. They duck into a deli, but the woman's like, but my shit's out there. you know, it's gonna get dirty. And he's like, no, there's gonna be all this destruction. You're gonna fucking die. And then it just like whoosh washes through, and she's like, oh my god, she's like very emotional. You saved my life. Like, you don't know. You're in such denial up until that point where it just smacks you right in the fucking face. That scene just felt very much parallel to that.
Yeah, and commentary on media reporters going and standing in the wind during a hurricane and shit like that. Like, it's very much that still to the bitter end. Like, go get that good shot. Get those ratings up.
Who expected a tornado in Pico Rivera?
No, I know. Yeah, seriously.
All those movies, Twister.
I have a question. Sinatra, did she give off a little Musk to you?
Excuse me?
Did she get?
Yeah, I mean, billionaire influencing with the ear of the president.
Like, a little musky.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
looks like her breath smells.
The social and political commentary was pretty rampant throughout this, but it definitely didn't take away from it. I mean, at one point, yeah, the environmentalists preaching on TV, pretty preachy. Mm.
I think it was subtle though. Like, they didn't, at least with her character, they didn't beat your ass over the head with it. But she did kind of give that evil supervillain vibe,
like
before you got to know, like, you know, how she got to that point. Like, her, like, just cold calculating ass was like, I'm like, damn, if shit like this was happening right now, this is exactly what I would expect our billionaires to be fucking plotting and planning.
Yeah, and one of the first scenes
got some bunkers or something like that already made.
Oh, I know, they're already working on. Yeah,
the show episode sponsored by Bunkers R Us. It's a thing, by the way. I think
if you use our code HighTech Bunker, you'll get a free supply of butt plugs to go with it.
10-year supply.
Yeah,
supplies last.
Chili cheese butt plug.
Yep.
That's the show.
But yeah, I think one of the first scenes we got introduced with Sinatra was when they were rolling through the security tape, and they show Xavier standing off to the side watching, and they kind of are confrontational. At that point, I didn't know who she was. I thought, oh, is she the vice president? Is she his wife? Mm-hmm. Like, but you could see very much like that kind of confrontation to it. So like right away, you're kind of just like, who's this bitch? Like, because then, we all liked Cal at that point.
Yeah.
And then... She did lose her kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to like a sickness or something, right?
Yeah, something. Yeah. I was like, man, they tried to give us a little bit of, or have us have sympathy for her. I was like, no.
It was her bad day of like kind of turning into a villain of like, mm-hmm. it was a turning.
Everybody has that one day.
Well, it ignited her mama bear instinct. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, shit can go south in the happiest of moments when my kid's on a little, you know, horsey thing. And so I need to protect everything with as much claw and violence as I can.
So
for the greater good.
It was her son that died, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was years ago, right?
Yes.
I don't remember. Have we seen her daughter?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She interacts with her when she was a kid and also older.
Okay. She does have a quick scene where she's like trying to walk by her room and the kids in there studying.
Because she's like, what, mom?
Because I got something mixed up because I heard somebody say that Jane could have possibly been her daughter, but I was like, man, that would have been cold if that was her daughter.
Oh, that's that would have been pretty interesting.
That would have been a nice twist.
Fucking Jane. I think at the end, though, when they showed Sinatra in the hospital because she got shot in the chest,
yeah,
I thought the daughter was...
She was there.
She was there.
Yeah. And the husband.
Yeah. Yeah, so Jane.
Trophy husband.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jane. So again, going back to what
hot.
I... Hot.
Oh, you like these gamer chicks then?
Yeah. She can poison me.
You have a thing, huh?
No. So again, going back to what I was saying, how they introduced you to these little clues and stuff and then answered them relatively quick. Mm-hmm. One of them was, oh, someone froze the cameras. Mm-hmm. That in the first episode, it's like, someone froze the cameras. All right, who did that? And then pretty quickly we learn, oh, Jane and Billy froze the cameras so they could play the Wii. And probably bang. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, she wanted the Wii and everything. And then what, at one point when the president was dead, she had called and asked if she can get the Wii or from Sinatra. Like, that was part of her bargaining agreement.
That conversation, though, you know, so, I mean, it was smart of Jane to not reveal her nefarious self to Presley.
Oh, she played her part so well.
Yeah. Super well, right? Like, nobody knew other than Sinatra.
I love and despise you all at the same time.
It makes it so much better. But the fact that like she calls her and she's like, yeah, yeah, what do you need me to do? She's like, what? No, no, I don't need you to do anything. Like, Jesus, she's just like really trigger happy. Mm-hmm. And so that sets it up. And then she's like, look, I have one thing to ask from you. And you're thinking like, oh, she wants a fucking political position, all these other things. She's like, you know that it was the only part that her true self was actually a little bashful. She's mm-hmm. like, well, you know how Cal had the gaming system. She's like, well, are you out of your fucking mind? She's like, you know what? You're right. This conversation's over. And you're like, click. Oh my gosh, she's gonna fucking kill Presley. And I totally thought that Presley was dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So did Xavier.
Oh, but how she played off walking back into the room after she killed Billy.
Yeah.
Like yeah. just her tears.
Not even a hint.
I wanted to anything.
Ice cold killer.
Liu Kang like bicycle kick her like through that wall so bad. I was like, you. It's just one of those things too, where because she is that type of character that the audience knows who she is, but everybody else in the world,
yeah,
and they still don't.
Yeah. So when everything was going down, I was like, and she took the daughter. I was like, man, he's gonna find out like too late, or you know, something's gonna happen, and he's gonna get shot, something. But it didn't play out that way. But she was just that overall threat that was just in the back of my mind. I was like, when is she gonna activate and just do something that's activate. Gonna break me?
I'm also glad that they didn't give her backstory yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I imagine they're gonna explore it in the second season now that mm-hmm. we've got that confirmed.
She had to have been brought in by Sinatra because she had her own gun. She mm-hmm. had that gun in the pillow, so she had to have been brought in with some like. For some heavy influence. So, yeah, I mean, again, we're going to see her backstory.
Because, you know, Sinatra knew about Billy and, you know, his being, what was it, the Watchdogs or something like that? Or just some a mercenary, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the fun name is. But, you know, his own redemption story and upbringing and everything.
Yeah. That whole thing is clever as shit. Like, if you, as a, you know, a billionaire, you want backup, you want security, you want trained killers in case you need them. Mm-hmm. So where do you stick these people? Like, where they wouldn't, you know, stick out like, oh, you don't have any, you're not a librarian. Why the hell are you here? Like, no, you stick them under the president's security detail and then activate your sleeper agents when you need them. And she had two, plus her own little personal security that Xavier took care of during that one scene. So how many possible more trained killers are hanging out?
Because how devious was it that Jane wasn't known to all the other killers, just that super secret supercell
partitioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, I totally thought like her and Billy were going to be in cahoots for whatever reason, but for Billy to not even know,
man, whoa. that
bitch.
I like it and I love it, but I
want some more of it.
But when Billy, you know, told Sinatra the whole, you better send somebody, you know, big and bad, blah, 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 blah. I wanted.
You wanted that fight?
That brawl. But when it happened, I was like, ooh.
Well,
that's cold.
He got a taste. He got a taste of his own medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because through his backstory.
But he's Uncle Billy.
Uncle Billy. Through his backstory, he's always punching first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To whoever the bigger person
mm-hmm.
is.
Exactly. Oh, that scene was brutal.
Yeah, in the prison to his uncle, although that was he got shot, and then
during the training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for him to be like, I could fucking take him down, and this little sneaky bitch, she struck first. Not even letting know what the fuck is up. Have a beer. Great.
Didn't even offer it to him. He was on the table. He's like, can I have some of this?
Psychopath.
Cool.
Man. Yeah.
And like, she just had it ready for him.
You think she had like some backups?
She had some
candies or something around.
She was like, if he doesn't drink this, I'm just going to have to fucking suffocate him and sleep or something.
Which one is poison?
Everything? Poison, venom lipstick or something. But she's one of those that you don't want to mess around with.
Absolute Black Widow.
But I need her to get
naked.
Some repercussion for that. Okay.
It's going to come.
So after everything is wrapped up.
Or I am.
Are you guys interested?
I already did.
Are you guys as interested in where the story's going now?
Oh my God.
I was, with what we've seen?
I was going to try to wait for that for the end. We're like, do you see the story surviving going out into the world, because it's pretty contained in this bubble, yeah, and everything's revolving around that. Opening it up to the world and different characters, and like, how do you think that's going to play out? Like, can they maintain that momentum?
Exactly. The momentum for me is key. You know, I don't care if we're dealing with the main story, but all the little things that happen in the background gotta keep that momentum stirring. There was only one series that movie-wise that I've seen that kind of hooked me in the beginning was the Maze Runner.
Oh, yeah.
When they were inside that maze, everything was so interesting. Once they...
ventured out.
Yeah, ventured out and descended upon the planes and all the other stuff. The story kind of started to drop downhill, and I'm hoping that this doesn't go that route, because it's just Xavier now, you know, gonna go get his wife. But hopefully, you know, there's more things like you get in, I was about to say The Walking Dead, but like The Last of Us, you know, where there's other kind of threats out there, or I don't know, somebody wants the dome because originally,
sorry, I'm 12.
Because originally,
it's taking blowjob day today, by the way, so watch your words.
Because originally, when Sinatra or whoever said that the killer is nobody in this facility, that it's somebody from the outside, I was like, ooh, are they gonna send Xavier, you know, out, and like, that's gonna be his thing? Like, if you want to get your wife or blah blah blah, you have to find out who did this and stop that person, you know, like, but it wasn't that, you know, because you find out, of course, the person was there, but it was one of those things. I was like, is this where the story's going to go next? But now I'm really curious to see what's going to happen.
I think we can certainly get one more season. I think we deserve at this point to see Xavier find his wife. I don't know if it's going to be as good, because again, part of what made this first season so great are those questions. Mm-hmm. How did the apocalypse happen? Who killed the president? What's going on with all this? Mm-hmm. A lot of that's gone at this point. So that question hook, I mean, unless they really quickly introduced us to more questions, which I don't know what that could be. They could surprise me. I think that'll be gone, but I think we care enough about these characters to see an endpoint to it. So I could certainly see one more season. I can also see them trying to stretch this out. He's going to run into, because they've already established that there's groups forming out there. And there's, I think in some of the recordings that Sinatra played, they talked about like, oh, we're forming a community outside of this or whatever. So he could potentially run into any of that. Now, granted, he's taking a plane, which is certainly like unique. So everyone might
he's taking a plane. Everybody's going to be like, peasant.
I mean, who knows? First episode, he might be landing and picking her up and bringing her back to the dome.
Where's he going to land?
I think it's interesting. Real quick, I don't bouncing around here for a little bit. You brought up the killer, how he was from someone outside and stuff, and he ended up being there. But his motivation, I thought, great motivation.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That so it's to tell our audience that they're not going to watch the show, which you should. You should.
For the greater good. He also did it for the greater good.
Well, yeah. I mean, so he was a construction worker, or he was like a foreman for a construction crew that were building this dome, and they ended up running into arsenic or something in the ground, and it basically killed his work crew and
the love of his life,
Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I was getting that too. So killed people he loved, and you know, so he kept trying to like fight it, like what's going on, what's happening in Colorado, and so yeah, he did all this for his revenge or for his crew. I thought that was pretty, as a working man myself, I know what that feels like to work in a shitty environment just so rich people can get their shit. Second season, you were going to say something.
So maybe they'll start off. I mean, who knows how they're going to, you know, write the second season, but I can totally see it starting from the point of view of Terry, his wife. Was it Terry? Of Xavier's wife, and then seeing how she got there. Same thing, you know, Pulp Fictioning, the storyline. But even if that second season fails, I'm very happy that they answered, you know, 95%.
Oh, we got a great first season.
First season, where it's like, you know, I know in the world that we live in where there's so many seasons and they don't get multiple seasons, like it was a beautifully told self-contained story with a happily ever after-ish you know, like, and he goes and looks for, it's like, but it was just so Jane fun. Jane got her Wii.
I did read an article that with the showrunner who suggested that it's going to be 3 seasons at least. He has a story for up to that point.
Good.
And that it's,
I could see that.
But good. The show is going to fundamentally change from season 1 to season 2.
It did already get renewed for season 2. So that's already a good sign. So I'm hoping that it doesn't do me like how Altered Carbon did. I'll never forgive you. Netflix.
Damn. I know, because that show was cool.
Because also, that was the other one that poor I was Anthony trying to Mackie. Think of. Altered Carbon, the way that that ended, I loved everything in the first season. Mm-hmm. But when he was leaving and he was going to go, quote unquote, find his princess, you know, he was going to go back out there into the universe. I was like, oh, here we go. Now we're about to, you know, explore everything. And then they gave me season 2 and then season 3 got canceled. But anyways, I'm just hoping, with all the hope that I can muster, that they do wrap the story up, because it's just one of those that you rarely get these type of gems, and I just hope that it finishes like that.
I'm assuming it's going to be him go finding wife and finding a group, second season. Third season is like the clash or them trying to get into the dome or something like that. That's the standard.
If they end up on the Lost Island, I'm going to shit. If what you were saying is true of like they have what a 3 season worth of story, mm-hmm. right? That kind of fills me with some hope, because a lot of times you'll have a successful, you know, like Lost, they have it up to a season or two and haven't figured out the rest, even though the rest of the seasons got greenlit. They're like, yeah, we don't know where we're going with this. I'm like, no, don't fly in fucking blind. So at least, because that means that hopefully,
ouch.
Hopefully it means that they're setting, the what they set up in the first season is going to, you know, relate to what's happening in the subsequent seasons. Or at least that they've been sitting with it long enough that they do have time to tinker with it, as opposed to starting from scratch.
Yeah.
To make it all feel connected.
Mm-hmm. They really need to do a spinoff that's just a straight up sitcom that just happens to be in that town. Just pick a family. They can go get at that diner and get those chili cheese fries. They're really good. The ducks. It's like literally the guy that puts the fake ducks. Like that's his job, and he hates it.
Yep, that's me. I'm Doug the duck guy.
Yep, exactly.
And so, they're dealing with all that over here. I got problems of my own.
It's basically like Married with Children, but like in the dome.
So like, you were picked because of your ability to sell shoes. Women's shoes.
I'd love it. I'd watch it. Fuck off. I'd watch it. Xavier shows up every once in a while. Like, I don't care.
You hear that, Hollywood? We've done it again. We wrote another thing.
I don't want to undersell this, but like we're hitting it in broad points. But the way it's put together is so well done. The attention to detail, like, absolutely put this on your watch list and go through it, because I think even if you listen to us and then go watch it, you'll still be pretty surprised.
Thoroughly entertained.
And put the phone down.
And thoroughly so entertained about how well everything fits together and how they present it to you.
And put the phone down when you watch it. Because this show does a lot of quick little flashes. That they explain what they are pretty quickly. They're not like random, but just they feel random, but they're really well done. Like a character will bring up something like, oh, I'm sorry about that day. And you'll get like a 1 second flash of like her yelling at him or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you'll miss that if you're on your phone, because someone sends a lot of reels.
A lot. You're welcome.
No, I send them too, so I don't give a shit.
They're real. Spammy.
Fuck off.
Spammy Miss Spammerson.
So it's my own curated content, and I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm about it.
But yeah, and I know we covered the pilot, but I want to emphasize how well that was done once again, because there are some shows where you have to watch 3 or 4 episodes for it to really click in and like lock you in.
Yeah, the end of the first episode, I was like, okay, I need all your seasons, and I need them now.
I was gonna pace them. I go, I could do like an episode and a half a day, and I immediately hit next episode after that one.
And I was like, I will butt chug all these episodes.
Yeah. I think I watched I think I watched the one, and then I watched 3, and then I watched 4, like all at once.
Hell yeah.
I rarely do a full binge. I mean,
so
I got bad hips. I can't sit that long unless I'm playing WoW.
I was wondering where you're going with that. Bad hips.
These hips don't lie.
Show's gonna be excited. I bounce around. Can't do it that much.
Shakira, is that you?
It is too.
All right, we covered that. I'm sure we'll talk about it more. I'm sure we'll bring it up multiple times when we talk about even other topics because it's a great one. Mm-hmm. Real quick before we end this, anyone got some hype? Anyone got some rants, some excitement, something to say? Jermaine, you got something to say?
No. I'm just really excited. So I'm...
Damn.
Hold on. Give me the floor.
No, hold on. So I finished season 3 of The Expanse, and I'm halfway through season 4. But season 3, I did the... oh, my God. The... Leonardo DiCaprio. Oops. Because the way that the story's been going so far, I love it. But season 3, the ending, The Expanse, like, they gave it to you. Because I was sitting there.
The whole Expanse?
I was like this is it. I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
But it was just a buildup for everything. You're just like,
ooh, watch it eventually.
This is where all that stuff, you know, pointed to. And we're finally there. So now that we're finally here, getting into season 4, they're in this place. And just like Paradise, how you have all the, you know, like the little, like, kind of side characters, main characters, but there's things moving on in the background. There's a crew member that he's a writer. Like, he's down for everybody. In my mind, he's like the Terminator. He'll end anybody that's going against the crew, like, instant. Without thought, like he's merciless.
Excuse me.
But there's a character in this season 4, and it's almost like anime-esque level / Tombstone, where they're out drinking coffee, and you get the buildup. But it's almost like Johnny Ringo and like Doc Holliday, but they're
their showdown.
Like they've had their moments. And then you see them in the morning, like they're just drinking their cup, but they're just staring off at each other, and just things just keep happening in the background. I need that now. I need it to happen now. But anyways, I'm so excited that I finally started watching this series because it's so good. So good.
Yeah, I've been going through some current series. I'm in the middle of like Reacher. Reacher's been pretty strong. Same thing, some plot armor, but he's still a good-looking guy to watch and kind of a funny character.
Reacher feels so old school, but I love it.
Yeah,
it's so just like, you know what? You know what solves problems? A big fucking muscular guy.
This thing right here.
Yeah,
it's like it's almost like a procedural, but it's like, oh, got into some trouble again, or it finds him or whatever. And just he's just a fun dude. Invincible.
He should play Absolute Batman.
He wants to play that shit fucking bad. I just finished Invincible.
Invincible's on my list next.
Invincible has some stronger story this time around, and it ends pretty well. Just in a, you know, big bloody mess. It's fucking cool.
So Invincible fucking bloody?
I know. Even bloodier than the last season.
Oh, gross.
More bloody.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching lately.
Nice.
Doug?
Nice. All sorts of stuff. I always say I want to get into more anime, and I really do. I am excited for Lazarus, the new anime from the Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah.
That looks really good. Couldn't tell anything about it. I watched the trailer once, and it got me tingling all sorts of places. So,
speaking of anime, didn't they just drop a trailer for All You Need Is Kill?
There's
animated Edge of Tomorrow. The Edge of Tomorrow is based off of this story.
But of a manga, and then
the Tom
but
Cruise
I guess we're supposed to get like a true adaptation with this animated feature.
Oh, yes. And speaking of true adaptations, Starship Troopers is getting a new movie based off the book, from the mm-hmm. writer and director of District 9 and Chappie.
Blonsky, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I just saw that announcement. That's pretty exciting.
I just recently started rereading that book, too.
Nice.
This is one of my favorite books.
Hell yeah.
Tread softly. Yeah. Because you tread on my train.
Better be some boobies in this one, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to hunt it down.
I got a lot of mine.
Goes in.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a fight.
I don't know.
I'm going to start a fight real quick.
Yeah. Oh.
I watched Trap.
Oh. I still need to watch that. Shit.
Okay. I'm scared now. We built it up too much.
All right. No.
I forgot. What was the... You said it was absolutely horrible, right?
I said it wasn't good. And then you were like, Jermaine's like, it's solid.
My buddy Trey.
I was like, what?
He said it was trash. And then Trey, who likes movies like us, he was like, oh, I watched Trap. You should watch it. It's actually pretty good. And I watched it, and I'm like,
that's fine. Yeah. Drink your coffee, your food's on fire.
I still didn't see it.
It was, that shit was solid.
Whatever. Who's that porn star? I looked at you. Who's that? The Arabic porn star?
Mia Khalifa.
Mia Khalifa. Recently, she was quoted as saying, like, I think it should have been nominated for an Oscar. You're like,
mm-hmm. Okay.
See, everyone's like, trash.
So.
I get what you're saying, you know, with M. Night doing his thing with his family. That stuff didn't matter to me because it was one of the, like, because it still revolved around what the story was. So it didn't necessarily take me out of it.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, I still want to see Rudy.
I'm just going to weigh in with my, a quick opinion.
I'm going to get hurt. So
and then when Doug sees it. then we'll tear it down. Okay. So this won't be a whole 30-minute argument.
Yeah.
It's a whole bonus episode. What we all thought of Trap.
The movie.
I got a great idea afterwards. Well,
was
don't say solid. I'll hate
it. It was okay, but a lot of the premises were fucking stupid.
There you go.
And the deliveries were like this is really happening right now. This is really happening right now. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a dumpster fire. But I don't know if I'd give it that it was okay. It's a little higher than yours and it's a little lower than yours. Like,
it's an M. Night movie. I don't know. It's not like I'm sitting here. I have never told anybody, you should watch this movie, by the way. That's the thing.
But it did kind of seem that you were giving it a pass, though.
No, but you know, see, when I recommend movies... When I recommend movies, you recommend the movie that you're gonna want somebody to watch. Like I can go watch Meg with Jason Statham. Like I fucking love that movie, but I'm not gonna tell anybody to go watch Meg because that's a little niche shit that I like.
After my experience with this movie, though, I'm gonna have to go see Madam Web because you're.
Oh, please do.
I don't know if I trust your review anymore.
Oh, please fucking watch that movie.
That might actually be a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
You heard it from here.
I guess that it's probably not.
do a fucking double feature of that and Craven, motherfucker.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, I still two men, to watch those two
co-hosts
movies.
Of a Hype Attack killed each other.
Speaking of bad movies... I mean, I haven't seen it, and I don't know if you guys... I was a little excited for it, Electric State, the new Netflix movie with Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt.
Did that drop?
I saw a review that said that this movie might have harmed Hollywood. It was that bad. I didn't read the whole article, but the review was basically saying, like, this movie feels like a knockoff of what a movie should be.
Is it a pre-release review, or is it out now? Right now, I can watch it.
It might be out.
Netflix.
It might be out. But it was basically saying, like, this movie is a knockoff of a movie. It's everything that a movie should be, but it's not. And if you, like, half-ass pay attention, you'll probably walk away thinking, like, yeah, it was a movie. It was good. But, like, if you actually pay attention, like, they said, like, it feels like it harms Hollywood. And now I want to watch it.
A movie for this generation, then, huh?
I'm down a movie night, that one. 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, 4 out of 10 on Screen Rant.
Shit. And we're talking Russo Brothers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're talking Chris Pratt, which fuck him, but whatever. He's a good actor. I like his characters. Millie Bobby Brown. Like, everything's there. It's an alternate history 90s where robots were a thing. Like, the setup and everything sounds so cool. So the fact that they're describing it as like a knockoff movie, I almost feel like, did AI write this?
A $320 million budget.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, everything here is like, movie? This is a movie that should be watched.
That trailer
what was the last movie? Adam
it got me.
The, Was it Megalopolis or whatever?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh,
the fucking that's a whole other thing.
So, yeah, but...
So it's available on HST.
I really want to hate watch that one.
But it's with those, like, you...
It's not as much as the Dumpster Fire's trash trap.
You get the hype, and you want to be excited to watch these movies, and then you hear things like the reviews, and then everything just bombs after that. And I'm like, why are you making... Not why are you making these movies to be trash, but it's one of those things that, where I don't know if it's just the Russo brothers just, you know, Russo brothering this movie and kind of not getting any feedback from anybody because it's them. Like,
oh, you're so great. This is amazing.
You gave
this
us going to be
fucking trash. Oh, my God.
Watch the franchise. They hit on that, too.
but then you have, you know, great directors that have made certain things like The Matrix, but majority of the other things that came after Matrix, you're just like,
when you're surrounded by yes people,
these movies were supposed to be epic, and I know they thought that it was going to be, but
I'll have to watch Electric State.
We'll see.
Before I say too much more about it, I do want to watch it. I have my theories that it's just a moneymaker. It's on Netflix. You got the big names. People are going to watch it no matter. Millie Bobby Brown, I think, is one of those people that people will watch no matter what. And then, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to guess. Now, after reading that review, like, I kind of wish I didn't, because I wish I got a virgin perspective of it. My thoughts have now been tainted. I'm going to be watching it for that idea of it ruined Hollywood. but
I still go in regardless of the, you know.
Yeah, a normal review, yes, but when the review is literally harm the industry, is one that makes me.
This movie painfully entered my body.
This is like, wow. This is the most horrifying horror movie. You know, people have been throwing up in their seats.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah.
But come on. But that's
come on, people.
Yeah, but that's to see the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it's.
You need to watch Trap first.
To your point.
Okay.
Next movie, Trap. Next episode, we cover a little. Can we just yell at each other for an hour?
Sure. All right, everyone,
I'm happy.
Hyped out. You're happy. You're all good.
Power down.
Okay, yeah. So I'll hand this over to Isaac. He normally
lands the plane. So just a quick reminder: full video episodes are available on YouTube.com/ The Hype Attack Podcast. Follow us on social medias at The Hype Attack on Instagram and TikTok, because there
you can continue the conversation using the comment feature that exists on these social media apps, as well.
Don't
as
fucking mansplain or like talk down to our goddamn eight people and listen. Shit.
All right, I'm very sorry.
I like the precise instructions. I wouldn't know how to engage with this if there wasn't a manual somewhere.
Our audience very well might be 50, just signing on to Instagram.
Like geriatrics out there.
Yeah. So no, seriously, keep the conversation going. We love it. We don't get any of it, so. In my head, I really love the idea. I mean, I giggle to myself pretending to respond to.
You're going to say come.
Responding to comments.
Whatever. I heard what I heard. And also there, we're putting more content out like we promised. So you get to see all of our faces a little more. Anything else?
Nope.
Right on. So see you guys next week. Same time, same channel.
Channel hype.
Damn it.